The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So instead of realizing that we are real talent, we have real skill, and that we are worthy and deserving of prosperity and abundance, we've been, as I've likened it in our production meeting, acting like puppies in a shelter. We're like, oh, pick me, oh my God, please fund me, please take me home and affirm me and take me and, you know, tell me all these things.
That's your
and,
puppy voice?
And oh my God, please, please, give me, you know.
Please continue.
External, validate me. Okay. Save me, get me out of the cage.
Save me.
Instead of realizing that we have more power and control than we have ever given ourselves credit for.
It really has been help me instead of me thinking that I have the power to help myself.
Right.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy.
And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time.
We're thankful you tuned in.
Yes, and thankful that you chose to watch, because we're still on
YouTube. On the tube.
The tube.
That you don't have to go incognito for. And continuing with our season's theme of taking our shit back.
Who goes incognito?
I know
y'all
really
not have pride in y'all porn searches, that you gotta hide it from somebody who's coming behind? Like, what's the point of incognito? The government
already
knows what's like happening.
Explain why I had to go incognito.
Why?
I told you we were kids. I was watching porn on my mama's.
This is a really good opening.
Watching porn on a community laptop in the house.
Oh, you just weren't smart.
I didn't know nothing.
Got you.
And you know, there's a Google search bar that used to be in the Google
it's
Chrome.
Still there.
But you can remove it.
Got you.
But you know, when you type like the word P or any word,
it
shows every, like, could you possibly mean any of your recent searches?
What was in your recent search history with
a P? I was in high school. I don't fucking know.
What were you into?
My mom was like, so that's what we doing now? And ever since then, I'm going incognito.
And so now you've been shamed.
I've since turned a new leaf.
Gotcha.
As I have talked about in our Oh You Watch Porn episode from last season, which we will link it when we figure out
this,
how to
do
link
this right here. Here.
Our hands
or are in
the
places.
Show notes.
That's fine. We're gonna
all
try.
Right. Continuing with our seasons.
No, I think that was a really good, like,
did you? Yeah.
Heathen.
Continuing with our seasons theme of taking our shit back. In this episode, we'll be taking a more intentional role in our own rescue.
Yes. And this will be in the context of our podcast, our baby.
And I think just our livelihood.
Business, our...
And how we've been moving since the It's a Hard Not Life episode from season one.
Yeah, so in our first segment, we're going to be discussing our return to being an independent podcast.
Yes.
And the ways that we are confronting our bullshit.
Yes.
Second is our fight or flight, where today I am confronting Randy about her lack of empathy for me during this season of her pregnancy. I just want to be loved.
Whatever, Mike. Finally.
It's not there, y'all.
We'll wrap it up with our PDA segment, where we might show each other some love and or
we might
thank each other for something.
It's supposed to show love.
And or thank each other for something.
We hope
you enjoy. And we're back.
All right. Main topic. The rescue.
The rescue. So backstory is we're independent again.
Woo woo.
And that has got us thinking about how we've been bullshitting and moving from a place of scarcity and lack. We've been minimizing our effect, ability, skill, reach. We've been moving really small, which we have alluded to since we started the season. And like, we don't do everything for the podcast.
And in having the small conversations that we've had about that, we've been coming to like bigger points, which has led us to this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to be specific or to like not be so vague.
We're
like,
about to be specific.
Yeah, like we just, Yeah, we're going to get into it. So we started the podcast, as you all know, if you started with us since episode one, season one, with this narrative of we're doing this podcast to stay together, to basically survive after this tragic event that we had experienced as a couple and as parents. And that is still true, but the podcast has grown. We're not in like this desolate, despair, emotional space anymore. And because that is the case, we haven't allowed ourselves to grow with how the podcast has grown, and or allowed ourselves to admit and acknowledge that we are a real talent.
Like, say that.
This cute, but this is like, this is what? This is star power. This is...
There you go. Okay.
This is...
No, talk your shit.
This is work.
Say that.
You know, you either got it or you don't.
And you got it.
And I got it. And you got it.
I do got it.
We have a real skill. Mm. And we are worthy and deserving of whatever success comes with the podcast and in our lives. And we have not been moving that way at all. And becoming an independent podcast again has shown us that, like, oh, we really got to, like, take our shit into our own hands. Mm-hmm.
Or fail.
Or stay where we are.
Which and is we can't considered failure to us.
Do that.
We can't. We literally, physically.
We can't do that.
Can't.
So, So instead of realizing that we are real talent, we have real skill, and that we are worthy and deserving of prosperity and abundance, we've been, as I've likened it in our production meeting, acting like puppies in a shelter. We're like, oh, pick me. Oh my God, please fund me. Please take me home and affirm me and take me and, you know, tell me all these things.
That's your
and,
puppy voice?
And oh my God, please give me, you know.
Please continue.
External, validate me.
Okay.
Save me. Get me out of the cave.
Save me.
Instead of realizing that we have more power and control than we have ever given ourselves credit for.
It really has been help me instead of me thinking that I have the power to help myself.
Right.
That's
we haven't been moving strategically. We haven't been moving. And like y'all see us. And so that's the funny thing. Like y'all see us and we see that in your emails and your reviews and social media engagement. And we've been kind of like y'all will say, oh, this is great. Like, oh, thank you, this old thing. Like, no. God damn it.
Like, actually, no, it's a big fucking deal.
No, this is fucking great. Thank you for recognizing that. And that's okay. But yeah, so we have been acting like we don't have any control, playing the victim, and not giving ourselves any credit for the literal real work that this has taken. And we realize we have to do that because we're going to have to, like, it's going to be the thing to save us.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when you were... When Drew was first born, you were doing a program, the tech program, and Drive and Lift. There are episodes about this. And editing the podcast with Drew on a boob and a hand on a, you know, like that is devotion, you
it
know,
is.
And commitment. And y'all was getting quality episodes. They was late. But they were quality episodes.
Better late than never.
That y'all enjoy. Mm-hmm. And like we don't ever like talk about that or like realize we have done a lot and we do a lot. So in short, nothing will move until we do. And we've been playing a very passive role and have paid largely for it. That's my soapbox.
No, that was good. That was good. You stay up there and we're going to continue talking from that spot.
Okay.
So what sparked this conversation? What sparked this realization?
I mean, a lot of things I think sparked this. You want to go first?
No, you. What sparked it for you? We will go back and forth.
Well, my one thing was, as y'all know, I quit episode from last season. I quit my job that I loved, but I quit my job to do podcasting because I was getting all these new shows. People were asking me to edit because my work, you know, because my work is quality and I love it. And I'm self-taught, but you can't tell. You know, like, I love it. And so people were asking me to edit shows, and I was very proud of it and very grateful, but it was becoming too much. I couldn't do the 40-hour job and the other 40-hour job because I was also still largely editing our show.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the other shows I had picked up, some that are not out yet and some that are out. But quitting my job, I realized when I started doing the podcast work full-time, as a freelancer, I was like, it gave me the opportunity to listen to other podcasts that I wasn't working on. And also gave me the opportunity to obviously listen to the podcast that I was working on as I'm editing and sitting in these meetings and listening to people record. And I was like, some of these podcasts and organizations got like 10, 20 people on this team. And they still got fans in their background. You know, like I was like, mm-hmm. I realized that like I could do the work that people were hiring 10, 15 people to do by myself and quickly, you know, and efficiently is, you know, more important than that. And I was just like, my show was really good. The show that we have together, our show, our baby, it has grown. And it just really allowed me to see that like, oh, we don't have a team. We are the team. Mm-hmm. We do everything. We do everything. Social media, PR, emailing, secretary, accounting. We do all of it. And
creative direction of the
creative
podcast,
direction, producing, recording, editing. Managing talent. Sometimes you got to make sure you like.
Sometimes it's a lot for me to deal with the talent that I work with. But I do my best.
You know?
Yeah.
And on top of being a spouse. So I don't know. I was just like, you know, all these people that's like doing something that I've been doing for years and that together we've been doing for years since 2018. And it just made me realize that like, I've been bullshitting. Like, I have not leaned into what this podcast could be, what the work we do is. And out of fear of like not looking humble, which we realized was humbleness, especially
Mikey
when it concerns.
Had a really sad moment the other day, y'all.
During our production meeting.
Yep.
What was your sad moment?
I looked into.
He looked up humble.
I'm big on looking up words and the meaning of words.
Let's define it.
It's important to me. It's important that you know what it is that you're saying out loud because words have power.
Internet, no Wi-Fi.
Written, spoken. It didn't matter. I already have the tab up.
Oh, okay.
Because I'd be prepared.
Oh.
Production. You see how I got to deal with the talent over here? Anyway, we were talking about the definition of the word humble. Before I looked it up, I was like, you know, humble doesn't mean...
shrink yourself?
I specifically said, humble does not mean shrinking yourself. Humble means, you know, dot, dot, dot. Then I was like, wait, actually, let me Google it. And I Googled it. And humble, by definition, says having or showing modest or low estimate of one's own importance. It's literally minimizing your shit.
I think it's a setup, especially when it concerns...
It continued. The words, meek. Respectful, submissive was the one that stood out. Self-effacing, unassertive. Then it went to say of low social, administrative, or political rank. Like just lower class, plebeian, low ranking, low, lowly. Being low is like, when you're saying like humble yourself, it's just like, you know, lower, like just, you know, calm it down. Like you're not as great as you think you are, even though you are.
Yeah.
Like just... It's really bad.
And that's how we've been moving.
I thought humble was a good thing.
No.
I thought it was like...
I think it's a setup to keep people down, especially... Mm-hmm. And we talked about this. Our parents never told us to be humble.
No, actually.
Our parents have never actually grown up... It's not a word that I relate to at all when it concerns being a child and growing up. But in school, it was definitely a thing.
Being a West Indian is all about popping your shit. That's like that's the theme of it.
My mom's an Aries. Like, that's it. War don't calm down. War ain't humble.
And we're from East Atlanta.
War ain't
saying?
Humble.
It's old, it's Candle Rock. Y'all know what this means. And so what it made me think about is the fact that like I've been taking on this role and taking on this word and like being really big about this word and not like actually taking a look at what the definition of it means.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that's just not humble, low, small about this.
Yeah.
Which. Added to my realization. Transition.
Come on. Seamless.
So the thing that sparked it for me, once we started talking about it and I really started thinking about it, was the fact that I was in the New York Times with my wife. Y'all. Like the actual New York Times. Like the New York Times, New York Times. Somebody reached out from a magazine that I've heard about since I was a child. A magazine that has been newspaper. On like this planet. A newspaper that's been on this planet for forever. About wanting... Two kids from Atlanta who did this little podcast thing.
Newspaper probably used to lynch people.
Listen to me describing it. This little podcast thing.
Go ahead. Come on.
No, serious.
Uh-huh.
The two like little podcast things, stuff like that, like words. They reached out to us and was like, "Hey, we want you to be on. We want to interview for this paper."
It was a good interview.
It was
great. We
didn't
know when the episode was going.
I didn't think it was
drop.
Real. Whole time, I'm like, oh, this is a scam.
Like, this ain't gonna ever get published.
This is never gonna. At some point, mind you, we had just finished watching. Or no, we didn't just finish watching it. I started reading reviews about the show, America, like a Hustle. What is it called?
Generation Hustle.
About these people doing scams.
Oh, so HBO.
I just assumed that this was a scam. This is a new age scam. They're going to make it seem like a thing first. And be like, yeah, for us to run your story, it's going to be $5,000. Go ahead and take out a loan, a PPP.
Yeah.
And then, I assumed that it was impossible that we would be approached about something like this. But why? Why? Being humble.
It's a quality ass show.
Thing of the nature. But like... I know we do really great shit. And so then I started thinking about other ways and shedding light on other ways that I've been just kind of not calling this what it is, which is like special, which is big. And then that led to Tamron Hall show.
I know.
And then
from the New York Times.
Yeah.
The producer was like, I just read the article and coincidentally, we're doing a segment on this.
And so we would like you two to
be on
because y'all are great. And us still being like, okay, not really recognizing that we are.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, you know.
And it's not just the, it is largely the Tamron New York Times thing because mm-hmm. those are big deals. But I don't think it's just that.
No. That's just what triggered the thought. Yeah. That wasn't the first moment I realized.
Like, have consistent listenership mm-hmm. and we love it. And I feel like y'all can tell that we do.
Love what specifically?
I love recording with you and editing. And talking with you, our production meetings.
It's fun.
My mom sat in one for last season before the pandemic hit. She was here watching Drew, mm-hmm. and we had to have a production meeting because we finally had a babysitter who wasn't charging us. And she was like, "Wow, y'all production." She was like, "This is what y'all be doing?
Like yes,
we be talking about these episodes when we get up here, sounding crazy."
And still get up here and sound crazy.
It's not scripted, but we gotta have some conversations.
Like, where are we going with this?
Because
before I go left,
y'all know these tangents. But no, I feel like it's also like everybody around us has been like, oh, the show or oh, your work. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, we just been like, oh, thanks.
You feel like we've been like late to the party that everybody else is lot of other people recognize greatness in us or the stuff that we do before we do it. Do you think that that's a theme?
I think it's that and I told you when we had a production meeting, we've been moving like fans. Like, we are fans and artists,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we haven't been moving like that. And I think that people around us, especially people we have access to now, have been maybe not waiting on us to step up as artists, but like, it's just the feeling like, y'all don't know that y'all could be doing so and so. Like, why?
No, we have that is.
You know, like, exactly I feel this is a conversation we've been having. Like, y'all haven't started this yet. Why? And we're like, because we haven't crawled enough. We aren't hungry enough. We ain't moved enough money in these accounts to try to make ice cream work. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we've definitely talked ourselves out of abundance and prosperity, thinking we have to be more worthy of it. But we do good work and we can't keep waiting on people. One, people already affirm it, but we can't keep waiting on like that magical unicorn of affirmation to start doing work,
right.
If that makes sense. Like, we've been doing this work, but this work is easy. What's not easy for us is putting out more snippets, you know, beefing ourselves up, promotion, you know, because we've talked ourselves out of it, which is leading us to one reason each. We've been playing passively.
So how have you been playing this passively?
So I think that the reason... how I've been playing passively is, or why I've been playing passively.
Why have you been playing it passively?
We have discovered. If you're just listening, Mikey just did something very dramatic.
I like this part.
A fear mm-hmm. of success.
Ooh.
And I didn't even realize it was a thing until I was talking to you about something that I had to do.
Randy was talking to me about something completely unrelated.
Randy
said a sentence that triggered me. It took me back to my old counseling days. It took me back to like my old looking in the mirror and talking to myself and doing some exercises days. And Randy just said something and there was a look in her eye. And I just looked at her. How would you describe the way I looked at you?
It was like he was just seeing me for the first time. We've been talking for 30 minutes, but he was
it
like...
It became really clear in that moment. I didn't say you're anything. I just asked the question.
He was like, are you afraid of success? You know what she said?
I did.
And I was like,
you ain't got to say nothing. Don't speak on it. Let's just, I was like, just think about that for a second.
I was like, but I.
Yes, is the answer
so
to that question.
So definitely afraid of success. I have lots of inner child healing work to do. I don't know what. Currently doing some shadow work. Sure, it'll come up. But I definitely have a fear of success. And I don't know why completely. I'm interested in your hypothesis, but I think I've been playing passive because I that whole like quote is not, you know, our greatest fear. It is real, and I'm like, and I can't say the killing to be because they played it so much when we were kids.
That was from Coach Carter.
No, it wasn't.
Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate.
It was in all the movies. They were trying to beef up all the black kids.
Every movie at that same yes, you're right. Did they put that in the Kiwanis?
Yes, they did.
I don't remember.
She read, I remember.
Got Mikey, you.
They played it. They made us watch that movie every day.
I just remember the spelling stuff.
In school. Every day.
Okay.
Black girl making it. Yes, we watched that movie.
Got you.
Anyway, but yeah, I think it's so definitely a favorite success. And so I've been playing really, I just haven't been advocating for myself for supporting or advocating for our podcast or supporting, I don't know. I've just been afraid. I'm interested to know why you think, but I haven't really worked out completely why. I don't know if it's because I'm afraid I won't be able to keep up with it, or I'm afraid that I'm not worthy. I mean, that's probably it. You know, or deserving of success.
It's not nothing like that.
Or like,
you're not asking me right now, are you?
Well, no, I don't know.
I can give you a metaphor. Now that you've been like paying attention to these playoffs and been watching basketball with me,
okay,
at the end of the season, there's this thing about, you know, you understand the concept of being beat into submission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it don't mean that you're not great in your own right. It don't even mean that somebody else is just greater than you. It's just that at a certain point you gave up and you kind of carry those feelings into other interactions.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, you made mention of it when you were a child, you went through some stuff and you have to still deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
However, you're not a child anymore and life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But you were still in that place. And you may still be there mentally sometimes, even though physically you have moved beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we still behave a certain way based off of what we've been through. So we're watching the playoffs and you watch this team get their ass just whooped.
Mm-hmm.
They have two options. They can be like, okay, that was that game. This next game is a whole nother situation. Yeah, it's the same team, but it's a other situation. We're only down 2-0. It's the first one to win four games. Like, there's time. There's still time. It's about our attitude and what we choose to do moving forward. We have better players than them.
Mm-hmm.
I can shoot better than this. Like, there's a lot that's better on this side than that side. However, they just have momentum on their side.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either, the story that you tell yourself is they're better than us, or we gonna lose because now we too far behind, or it's gonna, or you're gonna tell yourself, oh, we got more than enough time, and from here on out, we just can just be undefeated and we'll be straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about your perspective and what you choose to do during that moment. But if you never actually sit with yourself and think about it and have that conversation with yourself, then you would just continue moving like the former.
So, in short, your summary.
My summary is, if you continue thinking from the space where you were fucked up, you're going to continue moving like you're fucked up.
Mm.
But you're not fucked up. Everything is actually really great right now. It's going to take you coming to the realization of, oh, actually, I'm fine. And I can be fine.
All is well and I am safe to succeed.
Yeah.
And to fail.
Another thing that sparked these conversations the other day, we were sitting talking. I was like, Randy, like, yeah, things are not perfect. But like, if I really look around, younger me would be really proud of what they see right now. I have the things that I said I wanted. Like, younger me is also a dick, so he'd like still criticize certain points. But like, the overarching things, I'm married to like this fine ass woman who I'm in love with. I have two kids on the way and I'm raising them. Like, I'm actually there.
Well, you have one kid on the way and you have two kids.
I have two kids.
Let's not confuse
one on the
people.
There was a comma and more words in there I left out.
Uh-huh.
I have one child and then one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a lot of things to be proud of and success, and like that, the things that I defined as success at an early age, I have like met those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like meeting those things. But like, if you're always working from a spot of a place of criticism and you're always just tearing yourself apart as if you're not in that good space, then you're never going to feel like you're in that good
get
space.
There.
You're never going to be satisfied.
Or have the courage to. I don't know if it's a satisfaction. I think it's definitely a bravery thing.
No, like, that's me. I'm talking about for me. Like, at what point, what did you define as success before you kept moving the goalposts as to what success was?
Man, I thought that, I think, oh, Lord. I think that, I had a spirit moment.
Go ahead, share your
picture. So my old image of success was successful novelist, writer.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, that was the thing that Randy has been saying since she could say it.
I think, yeah, you said published. You said you want to be published. You want to be a Nobel Prize winner in literature.
In literature.
And
specifically. And yeah, that was what I've been. And so I've been working my whole life to that goal just to get to a point around 2018, 2019, when I was like, I'm more than a writer.
Mm-hmm.
This, what we're doing and what I do now freelancing, is not anything. It was never in my script.
Mm-hmm.
It was never part of my plan of success.
Same.
And so I don't know. I'm like, well, I didn't, you know, I can write,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't.
No, again, from your perspective, how you kept moving the goalposts of success, it didn't pop in a way that you like. It didn't become the world's greatest thing, and you didn't get the Nobel Prize off of it. But you've been published multiple times.
Yeah,
you've done great works. It has gotten a wide reach. It just wasn't.
It didn't feed us.
Yeah.
It didn't save us.
Why are you trying to transition into like my thing?
I don't think it didn't save us. And so now to go to something that feels very natural, that I'm also very good at, that we love to do together, you know, that works for us in our relationship. I'm just like, well, I don't want to. It just feels weird. Like, this is like who am I?
That question in and of itself is disrespectful to who you are, bro.
Yeah.
Like, looking at myself in the mirror and be like, yo, who am I? Like, you are you, nigga. Like, that's a big deal. Like, you're a problem. You're a force. You are, like, you're mad shit. You keep limiting yourself. Not you specifically, just like, now I'm talking about
no, something. Read me. That's fine.
Like, no, like, you're limiting to yourself to what you thought you were or what you thought you would be.
Oh, the only, yeah.
Like, I'm limiting my skills to, I'll just use you as an example. I've limited my skills to just writing. I do so much other great shit that feeds off of my amazing writing. Because we have to like write some of the notes and our thoughts and stuff for production in order for us to like bounce ideas. And come to, yeah. So like, but like, I'm only seeing it as like, well, this particular piece of what I'm doing isn't the greatest thing. Like, it's not seen as the greatest thing by other people. So it's not the greatest thing, but that's just not true. It feeds into all of these other things. Your writing has got us to this point. It has. Your skills and abilities have gotten us to this point. Your skills and abilities from what they were before, because they already existed, whether you tried to redefine them as something else or thought they weren't as successful as what you thought it would be, they got you to a certain point. They got you in the New York Times. Like, that's a thing that happened. That fact can't be, like, disputed. So, at what point are you... It's not you. Now I'm just back to the thing. Like, when are you going to be satisfied with recognizing who you actually are? Like, when are you going to actually do it? Because we can continue to critique ourselves. We can keep beating ourselves up and putting ourselves down. That's really easy, actually. That's our default setting. That is our default setting. So when would you like to shift from that? This is me talking to myself now.
To be what? Self-effacing? That's our default.
When would you like to stop being humble? When would you like to stop being... And then when we start having the humble conversation, you brought up Beyonce. You made a very valid point that I just didn't even like think about or consider. The moment you start recognizing Beyonce wasn't being humble no
she
more.
She stopped it. She was like, no, I fucked up Coachella.
Yeah, you was like, she did an interview and it was in it.
Like, I really did.
I remember old interviews. It was like, oh yeah, no, we're just really happy to be here. You know, like...
Fuck you,
like,
Patty.
Like, do you not recognize like who you are in the eyes of like the people who's like a fan of your music and like and just the reality of your situation
and your work?
Your work at the
and
reality
that's okay.
of your
and you're
situation.
Not lying. And I feel like yeah.
You win all these like awards and stuff because of your skill and be like, yeah, you know, like this is cool. Actually, that's a big fucking deal. That was a big deal to you, and you should recognize it's
and
a big deal to a lot of people.
Realizing like people take advantage of more people than not since we've started this have taken advantage of the fact that we don't think we the shit. Individually and as no, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay, got you.
That's all I'm saying. More people than not. It doesn't reap the benefits of like, oh, you're so good. You're such a good person. You're such a, you know, a digestible person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually give you none of that. We haven't got much of that. We haven't got much of that.
Good to you.
That's all the fuck I will say. Go ahead, baby.
No, that's fair. But I mean, that led me into thinking about the ways that I've been playing passively.
Okay.
What you define as success and what you start working towards because you made that definition at that time. You know the definition of words can change?
They do. And they be adding words to dictionary all the time.
All the time. Remember when, what was it? Biggie said it. Conversate. Remember when conversate wasn't a word?
Yes, I do remember.
And it was a whole thing. And niggas used to call people ghetto because you couldn't use the word properly. It's not conversate. It's converse. And like, our teachers used to get on us like, you know, we little hood babies. Like, it's not conversate. That's not how y'all say it. And then conversate got added
it's
to the dictionary.
Yes.
And it's a word now.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the meaning that you knew it had before when you was using it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You define your situation. You call it what it is. You say it like it is. You can always change it if you want to change it to what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have been playing this passively because I've just been underscoring the importance of this podcast, this space. I've been giving it light, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put a dim light on it. Like, you know, I shine some light on it and be like, yeah, this thing is great that I do with my wife. It's wonderful. And I put my light away. Like, it's more than that. It actually deserves, like, spotlight production. Like, it's a big fucking deal. Like, this is bigger than what I keep shining a little light on and giving it a little bit of time for. I would talk about this as a side hustle. This concept of, like, Black people always having a side hustle. I don't think I've ever, at any point in life, not had 3 jobs at once.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can speak to that. I think once I was able to start, that's not true. Once I was able to start legally working, I was working 3 jobs. Prior to that, I was still working more than one job. Like when I child labor laws, other stuff. Like, I was being paid under the table for shit. Like,
cash. We ain't gonna tell nobody.
There's a statute of limitations on stuff. On top of that, like, street shit. Like, so, like, just being, just always doing something and thinking, like, and then, and this came up in the previous episode. We talked about this, like, me wrapping my worth up in my work. Mm-hmm. And then not feeling satisfied because my work ain't really giving me the stuff it's supposed to give me because I wrapped all my work up in it. Mm-hmm. Like, I worked really, really hard. It's not paying off the dividends that it should be. Maybe I'm worthless, right? Mm. Bullshit. And so this thing that I've now labeled as a side hustle that I'm pouring into, I am pouring into this podcast because I love it. And it is pouring back. It is giving back exact, like, more than what I'm putting into it, which is only making me want to pour in more. Mm-hmm. And I love it. This is like a place of peace. This is great. This is amazing. And other people recognize that too. Mm-hmm. At my work, I pour into it. I do. Because that's my work ethic. That's all I've known. That's who I am when it comes to work. I pour into it. But when you pour into your work, sometimes it pours back. Sometimes it doesn't. Very rarely does it give you what it is that you put into it. Mm-hmm. I can specifically say it's not giving what I'm putting into it. Because I am pouring buckets and buckets into this shit. And like, it's evaporating. I'm getting back steam in the form of a paycheck. That's just enough.
Just
enough. To pay bills.
I'm so tired of just enough.
Right?
That's overrated too.
So like, not only is it just taking from me, it's just taking. It's taking. And it is drying me out. And it is taking away from what I want to pour into the thing that's actually pouring back into me. But the problem is that worth, what I've wrapped up, the concept of worth that I wrapped up into this side hustle that I have now diminished and minimized and put in a space of like this humble little thing, is not getting the recognition that it should be getting. It's not getting the energy that it should be getting from me. And I've just been, and that's how I've been bullshitting it. Mm-hmm. Because this is not a side hustle and I can't refer to it as that anymore.
No.
It's actually like my thing. It's my thing that I like and I love to do and I enjoy. And it's not gonna, it hasn't given back to me in the way that would solve all my issues in life. Mm-hmm. But it does give back to me. It definitely fills me emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Like, it does all of those things.
And I remember the year that you were doing the tech program and driving Lyft and I was doing like transcription work. And editing, but not for pay. And when I was doing all these things, we knew the postpartum and we had got our taxes done. Mm-hmm. And the person who did our taxes was like, yeah, you lost $3,000 driving Lyft, but you made $65,000 with the podcast. Like, after everything was said and done.
Yeah.
We literally lost money
trying
for you,
to like
time to pay bills. But like, so this for is anybody, the only...
so to break it down. So when you're driving Lyft, you get paid for rides. Most people know how to understand. Like, say it was a $50 ride. Lyft breaks that down and they get 60%, or I get 60%, they get 40. So math. What was the big number I said?
60.
It was $50?
Yes.
So I get $30, they get 20 of that 30. So I get $30 for that ride. I may have burnt $5 in gas. $25 was my profit from that. However, I need an oil change soon. I need a whole bunch of other stuff.
Because you're wearing your car down.
Like,
you need new tires.
The amount of wear it actually puts on your car takes away all of that money. So there is no profit. Also, the money that at the end of the day was like that put me over what I needed to make gas for the next day was going towards like a bill or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was just gone as soon as it like came. It was literally to just keep us from drowning.
It was a deficit.
Yeah.
And the only thing that didn't give us a deficit that year was podcasts.
Which was also the only thing that was helping my mental and emotional state.
That's why we never stopped. Y'all know that first season had 99 mm-hmm. episodes, not including the minis, because we weren't counting those part of it. But, and not including the episodes we were doing for Patreon, the bonus episodes they were getting once a month.
So the fact of the matter is, we love this.
Yeah.
We love this. We're good at this.
Yeah.
Whether the world recognizes it or not, because it will happen at some point.
Unless we recognize it.
Thank you.
So, exactly. Leading us to the ways we are confronting our bullshit.
How are
so,
we going to confront it? Because recognizing it is one thing. Doing something about it is a whole other piece.
Trying
to
be more active. And so,
how you fighting it, baby?
So, like, basically, like, what has sparked all this, right, is we are still in the Batcave, as y'all know. Mm-hmm. We have had job loss and job gains and career shifts and new
spikes,
baby.
Plateaus.
And another new baby. Mm-hmm. And we're just like... And it was like, it's been stagnant. It's been so weird. Like, we were doing really well once we were doing not so well, as y'all have heard. And then it just kind of plateaued. Did you just say that?
Yes.
Plateaued. And
the reason for that is?
Because we plateaued.
Yeah.
And so one way that we are actively trying to confront our bullshit and plan to is, I think that personally and together, we're going to utilize our resources. And for me, that is Patreon and my brain. I have really good
That's
ideas.
That's a really great resource. I agree.
I have really you great will get ideas.
No rebuttal from
and
me on that.
I remember thinking, walking, pacing the house, our last place, right before we started the podcast. And I was like, Mike, you came to the stairs. I don't know if you remember this. You're like, yeah, because you were downstairs. And I was like, fight or flight. That should be one of our segments.
Mm-hmm. I do remember.
And I broke down to you what the segment would be like. You were like,
before Randy even got into the depth of the idea, I just love the name of it. I was like, because we already talk like this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, again, we come from a counseling. I was like, no, that's a great idea. Whatever the segment's going to be about, fine, whatever. But I love that as a name. Then you describe it, and I was like, yes.
That works.
Yes.
And Mikey's just been like, okay. And then he went back to whatever he's doing.
That's Randy does this thing, though, where I say okay, and she thinks that I mean something beyond okay. Sometimes your idea is just that great that I don't need to second guess it. You don't need to second guess it. And there's no need to dive any deeper. Actually,
yeah,
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Next day, or sometime around this time, pacing. I was like, Mike.
You do come up with a lot while pacing.
I was like, PDA. We should end the episode with like something happy. Because if we're going to end it with a fight, then we need to like...
One of my favorite songs, John Legend.
We need to
Legend,
say something.
PDA.
It's PDA.
It's a song that we play very often. It's been in our relationship since the start of this relationship. I was like, obviously, yes. We just don't care about how we are in public spaces. And a public display of affection. This is a relationship conversation. It's us.
Right after
the end of sense.
And he was like, okay.
No, I just explained how my mind worked and where my mind went when she brought the thing up. And before I just say, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't be saying all this stuff out loud when I agree with her or when I tell her things. So just context. But
so that's two segments of our podcast that has been staples that I thought up.
And then I said main topic.
He did. I was like, okay babe.
That's how she says okay.
Okay, babe.
I'm like, yeah, so we're going to do that. Main topic.
Great.
Boom.
So, but I have this thing where I do that I notice other creators do not do. And if they do, they don't do it how I do it. They don't. They'll have a thought and an idea, and I'll try it. They're like, okay, let's just see what happens.
Randy, you will have a thought and an idea, and you will immediately put up barriers as to why you should not even attempt it. And it's crazy. It's not crazy. I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm saying it does not serve you in so many ways. And it's also like...
it's self-sabotage.
It'd be pointless because it's always wrong.
And
you were always right the first time.
Yeah. My intuition does not lie. And so utilizing that as a resource, which means for me, letting go of pride. So like right now, Patreon is our most consistent source of income for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We have had people over there where we always hover around between 59, 62.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really good month with like 67.
Here's a little thing about minimizing yourself and like already placing yourself in a box of like when I place this in a box of this is a side hustle. So that can only be this, which is just not true. When we first started Patreon, I was like, you know what? A room full of 50 people. When we do a live show, a room full of 50 people is it. That would be really, really cool. Cause we've thrown parties. We've had 50 people is enough to have a nice little situation.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's good. There's people playing games, some people drinking, people having conversations, some people smoking. So like that's just like there's a nice mix at 50. But I've already now limited to how big this party can get.
Yeah.
This party can only get 60. Well, what if you are so great that you are now provided the space of Phillips Arena?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have room for more, but you're still thinking about only that's 50.
The little bar.
Or you think you're only deserving of serving and creating a nice little vibe for 50.
Yeah.
When the truth of the matter is, like, this is actually a nice little vibe for millions.
And I realized that, like, when it started, like, my part, like, what I can do for Patreon, because we both have our things that we both do that they like. But, like, I realized that, like, I know I haven't been intentional with you in terms of, like, hey, we need more people. We need more people because it, as it being our most consistent source of income, with the podcast.
Actually, no. We've consistently said it out loud. We have not done anything.
This is true.
That's the point.
I think that people aren't aware of I mean, Pride thing has been like, oh, how do you tactfully say we need more money?
Go ahead.
We need more money. There's no way to say that. And I think that when it concerns Patreons I've joined personally, they have a goal, you know, they have things they need. People who join Patreon to support your show, whatever work you do, in our case, it's our show. And we've managed to keep people for a while, you know, so that's beautiful, right? Like, they obviously feel like their investment is
that's
good.
That's a legit community.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
It's a legit community space that we built of people who like really fuck with the content.
And we need also, more. Like, and I thought that, I don't know, I've always been like afraid or thinking that like to say we need more and want more is like.
Not being humble. No. That's what it is.
That and like, this ain't a GoFundMe, but like in truth. That's nothing wrong with GoFundMe. I give to lots of GoFundMes. One.
You do give to lots of GoFundMes.
I give to lots of GoFundMes, okay?
I give to key GoFundMes.
I give to lots of GoFundMes, okay? But also, the work that we produce and do already is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And not utilizing this resource of Patreon and my ideas is consistently dishonoring my like value
mm-hmm.
and our value in the show.
Yeah.
And so that's what I plan to do. Mikey is really good. Y'all hear him all the time. There is not really an idea that I have that he's like, no.
I'm never, if it makes sense, I'm always for it.
Yeah.
And when we present ideas to each other or thoughts in general, like I'm also just a supportive human being. Like, so I'm also for something, even if it's not perfect, if it failed, then fucking we
then
did
at least
it.
Then
at least we tried. Like that, I'm that person. So yeah.
So I plan to like really trust my partner. This is your podcast too. You love it.
Just like Spades.
And when you say that my idea is good.
I got you.
That also is like smart of you. You know, like you smart yes. too.
You got it. You have to know your partner. We got to know what's in each other's hand. Like, no data. Like, this is yeah. awesome. This is Spades game. So like, I know you ain't got it. I got it.
Yeah.
You know I ain't got it because I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you in so many words, I ain't got it. We gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
And sometimes we make it happen. And sometimes we fall short. But that's not the last game. And you know we're gonna run this table like when it's like we're gonna do what needs to be done yeah. when it's time to do it. Like,
yeah,
that's the overall theme of this relationship.
Yeah. So listen to my first thought. I have lots of first thoughts that, as Mikey has said,
I'm like very few of them is like, what's wrong with you? Very few. Probably count on one hand over the decade that it's like 13
years now.
Beyond all of the time that we've known each other, I could probably count on one hand how many were like horrible. Horrible. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You need to stop. Or you were joking. But like, that's it.
Yeah. And believe that I have good ideas.
I don't just call you a brilliant woman because I'm trying to get hit. It is. It's one of the reasons.
Okay.
But I don't only do it for that reason.
Okay.
It's because it's true.
Thanks.
It's true.
Thank you.
You got thoughts in your mind brain that I think you should share?
Me too, babe. And I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna trust you and trust myself. How about you? How are you actively confronting our bullshit? What is your part? How are you holding yourself accountable in this process?
One of the ways that I'm actively confronting my bullshit is I am utilizing resources. Same as you. I'm actively seeking counsel on how to better treat our product.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't watched Snowfall.
I will.
So you won't get this analogy. But like, a nigga from another side of town started trying to sell drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same quality as Franklin's.
Okay.
Your options are, you can keep beefing with Franklin. Keep selling bullshit. Franklin still make more money. You never grow.
You remain stagnant. Or you can ask Franklin.
And Franklin eventually push your ass out and take over your neighborhood because...
Your shit whack.
Yes.
Okay.
Not just because your shit whack. Your shit not selling, which means you don't make money, which means you don't got people, which means you ain't got guns, which means you have no protection, which means I can take your stuff whenever I feel like it. It's mm-hmm. really just a personal choice. Yeah, that's one option. Or option two is you can partner with because you already have an established network.
Mm-hmm.
You have something that is built. There are positives here.
Mm-hmm.
You just need some guidance. You need somebody to give you that next piece that will take you to the next level. He chose to partner with instead. Now I have the same connection that you have. Now I'm able to like build my stuff up to a better standard, higher standard. Like it's not like I'm not gonna take over your shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the greatest stuff in the world, but it is 100 times greater than what I had, which was good. It's just not as great as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is more potential for more growth. I've learned more. I cannot present myself differently. I can make connections with your connections.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, like, there's other, like, it leads to other things. If you continue standing in your own way, thinking that your way is the only way of doing things, you're fucked. That's history. That's anybody, like, anything in life can show you that that's just how stuff breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
I am a student of history. If I see that something is going well one way, I continue doing it that way. If I see something is not going well, I'm not going to continue walking in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's self-sabotage. That is only going to hurt me. I see what happens when I shut down mentally and I go through my episodes psychologically and I can't speak
mm-hmm.
or I can't communicate with people, including you,
mm-hmm.
family, because I can't really formulate the words I need to express myself, because whatever I'm going through, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, whatever it's caused by, triggered by, money, family, death, whatever. And I know that only bad things come of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I start feeling those feelings come up, I immediately start talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I know now to express to you, hey, something is going on. I'm having a hard time. This is what's happening. Just so you are aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So either you know how to communicate with me, or you know how to reach me to be like, hey, so you need to talk, nigga. Like, you're going to have to like talk to your therapist. You're going to have to speak up. You're going to have to do the things you got to do to like combat that.
Okay.
And so, because again, I've realized that we have been bullshitting in this space, I have to actively combat that by doing a thing that I'm just not good at, which is
asking people
for help. No one wants to feel like a burden. Mm-hmm. No one wants to feel like they're always like reaching out. It's always reaching out. But the thing is, we're not always reaching out. When we reach out, we're also still pulling people up.
Mm-hmm.
We're also still sharing stuff. We're always disseminating information and like helping people wherever we can.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when you need help, you need help. It just is what it is. Pride is the only thing that stops you from doing the thing that you need to do to take you to that next step,
mm-hmm.
to put yourself in that better position. So again, we can either just be over here selling mid, and like you make money off mid. You can grow, like not grow. You can like be stagnant. Mm-hmm. You can plateau and be in a space and be straight mm-hmm. off this. However, this is not your goal. This is not your calling. This is not what you're meant to do. No one is. You're not meant to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I don't want to stay here in Midtown, like I would like to go and be better. And the only way to do that is to actively use resources that I have and put that advice to work. The problem is not a problem. Even when that happens, we're then confronted with the fact that, damn, we was right all along. There was all we had to do was
that's
the thing
it.
That,
all we had to do was,
that we already knew.
Was the first thought that Randy had last year. We should have did that last year.
Randy Ben had this thought. And Randy brought it up. It's a very obvious thought.
Mm-hmm.
I had it too. We just ain't talked about it. Like, it was
or
one of those things
it.
That was like, and there's no need because, you know, there's time. We'll get to it when we get to it. But then we find out the thing that's going to take us to the next level
is the thing that we had already thought about.
And so the point is, it all comes down to just choices
mm-hmm.
and executing and doing the stuff. Like we know what needs to be done. So now I just want to do it. And I've started and I'm nervous. I'm nervous and also started realizing, hey, I think I share that failure of success when it comes to this type of stuff. And it was really sad.
Oh, the fear of success.
Yes. It was really sad that I came to that realization. And was like, I did not think that I was somebody who was like that. But I am.
You like your wife.
I am.
And that's, I get it.
I didn't think somebody like who would be like, once you're called upon for the thing, that's like something that you're not, you know, not used to doing or you haven't been successful in the past,
mm-hmm.
that you would like shrink in the face of it. Because there have been plenty of things that I've been confronted with and I didn't shrink in the face of it.
Yeah.
I stood up, I stood tall, I handled it. But like those were things within my comfort zone. Like, yeah. Fight this nigga.
Like, we like to think we're a hero and yes. We're not cowards.
But nah.
Yeah.
And so, that's it. We do the thing. We do the thing that's going to take us to the next level of the thing.
So, no one is coming to save us.
Mm-mm.
But us. And that is the big overarching epiphany and revelation.
Pride is the devil. Thank you, J. Cole. Singing about the obvious.
So, for engagement, have you had a moment in your life where you realized you had to save yourself?
Yes. What was that like?
Yes.
Shoot us an email at blackmillmare@gmail.com.
Leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098 or
just hit like
us
when
up
you say the numbers
on social media with your thoughts on this episode.
All right. Fight or flight.
Fight or flight.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's fight or flight.
Fight or flight, sir.
Fight or flight.
Let's
all
wrap
right.
this up.
We're going to wrap this up. We're going to get real quick about
this. We always say
we're
going to like do these short episodes, and we never do.
What are you talking about? This is only 50 minutes. It's short, sweet, and to the point.
Come on.
Fight or flight. All right, mm-hmm. So let me just start by saying I love you. And I recognize that you bringing life into this world is training. You know, it's a task, and it's something that you be.
You don't recognize shit. That's my fight.
It's not your fight.
You don't recognize.
I just want to know why you don't love me.
Mikey, what are you talking about?
All right, so I'm going to be specific, man. I wrote down bullet points. You don't appreciate my jokes now that you're pregnant. I just be trying to make you laugh and you don't give a fuck. You're not feeling it. I'm doing too much. You don't spoon me anymore. You actively avoid me in bed. You are constantly putting 6 feet and 20 pillows
in between
us.
I got my boyfriend pillow back, y'all. My pregnancy pillow. Got it back.
is this giant white marshmallow penis shaped thing that wraps my wife's whole body and separates her from me. And you love it more than me. And, you know, it hurts. I miss being held. That was an actual bullet point. I haven't been the little spoon in forever. Don't read them. I'm going to read them out loud. I can't remember the last time I had a home cooked meal. Let me get this out. And where's the head?
I just gave you head last week.
That's my fight. Where's the love, babe?
Babe.
This also happened multiple times during this recording. Like, I just be wanting to touch you. If it's not because you hot and I add more heat, then it's because I'm cold. And you don't want to feel it. Or it's just because baby, you want me in your space.
Your baby does not like me to be touched.
It's fair. I think that's real. This baby is actively rejecting me being present in space.
Drew, even now, want to be hug on her. She'll kiss on. This baby says, I'm touching my mother.
So you're putting this on the baby?
Yes. I am not myself.
Got you.
I haven't cooked. I know.
I really only put it there, but just overall, there's no expectation that I have my pregnant wife cook for me. Like,
I haven't cooked. I am well aware that I have not cooked in 4 months.
Okay.
Well, we know I've had a really rough first trimester.
You have.
These smells, mm-hmm. these things that you've been eating, when you make your food, it's like, I can't. Mm-hmm. I'd be so tired.
Got you.
By the time y'all wake up, mm-hmm. I've already been up mm-hmm. and back to sleep because mm-hmm. of this baby. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
But I also be trying to make sure you get time to rest during the day. I make you take lots of naps. And I keep the kids from you. And I keep the dog being quiet. And like, I watch the baby after I get off of work. Because mommy's going to get like another 2-3 hours nap.
Do you want dinner? Like, is that what you're saying? Because I do be buying dinner.
And then, today specifically, it's been like a bombardment of all the things that you knew was going to come.
Because I know. I'm very well aware of my limitations.
I woke up to Randy washing the dishes.
Yes.
Pots and pans. The big stuff that won't fit in a dishwasher. They're all clean.
Yes.
They're out of the way. Can't complain about that anymore.
I bought breakfast.
You did. We ate flying biscuit in Atlanta. This is not an ad, but they're delicious.
I really wanted some grits, and I knew that those grits would work.
It was really great. It was great food. I still taste it. And my French toast. So I know you're aware of these things.
Dude, I'm trying.
I miss you.
I know you've been cooking a lot.
I miss you.
I know you've been cooking a lot.
That's my fight.
I know. I ain't touched the pot. I know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to wait till I feel better because I just can't do it. These smells. Mm-hmm.
But if you're telling me you want food.
I'm not telling you I want food. I'm just telling you that I miss you.
I miss you too, but.
Like right now, I want to touch your thigh.
Please
don't. And I'm afraid. You look really pretty and I'd like to like caress the side of your face, but that's just going to make you make the face you just made and move away in the way that you just did.
I just don't want to be.
It's just been real lonely. It's just been me and this girl who got me sick.
You don't think I'm lonely?
I do.
Last night, I started to tell you. Let's talk about that. I started to be like, you know, Mike, I hear you. I too miss you mm-hmm. and miss sex and all these things. It was just real quiet. I was like, he's really listening to me. And I turned back. And Mike is knocked the fuck out. You're asleep. I'm like, what is the point? Our vulnerability.
Nah, context.
Transparency.
Randy made me take a sleeping pill the other night.
2 nights ago.
Yes. And it's still in my damn system.
Mikey.
Yo, Unisom is the devil.
You're like talking to me. You're like, babe, I really miss you. And I'm like, you know what, babe? We are right there. And
I'm right pouring after I said out that, my I got heart. So sad that I just like went and curled
out my
up
heart. I'm like,
by myself.
He must be like really contemplative. Because pregnant women, I don't know if y'all know, if y'all have this issue. Every pregnancy, I have to lay on my, what side is this?
Left
side.
Yes.
I literally get so nauseous if I try to lay on my right side. I cannot lay on my left side. I'm on my right
side. So Randy lays on her left side and her side of the bed is the left side of the bed.
Mikey's always behind me. Now we can switch sides of the bed,
but
which I have recommended.
Then what happens is more pillows end up being between
your
us.
Your bed, this side of the bed, this is awful.
Oh, your side of the bed is terrible. It's the most uncomfortable side
so
of the bed.
So I'll be trying. Okay. They had this conversation with you and be like, hey,
wait,
yes.
Wait, this one time you tried to have, and then what happened? I fell asleep.
And the other time,
mm-hmm.
before my morning sickness really kicked in,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to get some,
okay.
and you were like, babe, in the morning, I got you. You turned me down. Yes, you did.
I don't do it in
you
the morning.
You fell asleep.
That's just a lie.
No, it's
people
not.
People tell themselves.
You fell asleep,
uh-huh.
and I had to take care of myself. And then I told you that. You said, where'd you do that? Right next to you.
I don't remember that at all.
You were asleep.
what happened earlier in the day that made me fall asleep?
It don't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter that I just did a whole bunch of shit and that's why I'm exhausted.
All I'm saying is I'll be trying.
The one time of the times I fell asleep, I recognize that you have tried.
And I've been, you know, my first trimester has been kicking my ass.
It really has been. And I, again, understand that. I'm only bringing this because the point of these fight or flights is for us to have these discussions.
And you mean it.
So that we can talk about it. I don't mean all of it. I do want to know where the head is. And you don't appreciate my jokes.
Mikey, when you're trying to be funny, you're not funny. I haven't been a spoon. Which I've told you since we were
kids. I just
want
to be a spoon. And that belly ain't big enough to where I can't be a spoon. I just want to be the little spoon.
I don't want
to
be touched.
Or a big spoon. And that's what I'm saying. Like, stuff like that. That I mean that stuff.
That's why I'm giving you head. Don't touch me. Move your hands. I'll just... Stop touching me. Just lay there. And take it. You want to rub all over my hair and my boots. Stop it. Just sit down. Just stop.
So you're fighting.
Yeah.
Got you.
I'm not myself. And I'm just trying to act accordingly to make it to the end of this pregnancy.
Okay. And I will recognize that. And I will just hold on.
And if you want a home cooked meal, let me know. Okay. I actually think I want the salad again. I'm hungry.
The salad that from another foot from where? You can just name the... So you're not, this is the salad you want to cook? Or what is this?
You want me to make a salad?
No, I'm just asking because you brought up a salad after
from
just
restaurant.
Saying home
I know
cook.
We okay. ain't... You know, though, I could really feed this baby if y'all join Patreon. Mm.
You're the reason for our relationship problem.
I would have... No, really. That's...
I love you.
I love you. Okay.
All right. I hear you.
PDA.
PDA. You first, my love. Well, first, let's shout out to our people over on Patreon.
Oh, yeah. So, no new people this time, but we're sure that will change. But thank you all so much for being on Patreon. We have had our bi-weekly meetings. We have one coming up this Monday. Really excited for that because we missed your faces. Last game night was fun. We played Among Us.
Next game night, we might end up doing a tutorial of Palace.
We should. That's a good idea. But yeah, thank you all so much for your patronage and your support and your investment in the show.
We do
and
appreciate it.
We really do appreciate it because it helps out. Because sometimes we ain't got it.
Mad times we ain't got it.
Let's be real. Mad times we ain't got it. We're like, where is it? Where is it? And it's in Patreon.
It's only
so
there.
Thank you all so much for your support and your encouragement. And we put up like new baby stuff and everybody's really excited. So thanks.
Also, we hope y'all are enjoying the new behind the scenes stuff so y'all can see what these production meetings look like. We hope that y'all have been enjoying a little bit more of our banter.
Yeah.
Seeing a little bit more of the process behind the podcast. I enjoy recording it and I'm enjoying sharing it now too.
Yeah.
Also mixtapes, daddy journals.
Okay. My PDA.
Patreon.com/backlinemarriage. Yes. Your PDA.
Yes. I love Mikey's mixtape. Mikey put mixtapes up there that we all be looking forward to. I don't know if you still done a workout playlist yet.
I made a workout
People
playlist
have been asking for
and
a workout
I realized
playlist.
That it is extremely misogynistic and is probably not something any of our female listeners
Women
or
listeners.
Supporters Women, female supporters would want anything to do with while working out.
You don't know what we listen to, but also don't.
I know because what I do know is that I would not do that. So I'm still working on stuff, but I'm also not trying to be like patronizing, being like you only want to listen to this type of mix. So
why don't you just put a mix out there and ask?
We'll see what happens. I'll put the track list out and see how they feel. I would give you my workout mix, but again, it's mostly just drug music and gunshots.
Okay.
Do you want that?
Sure.
You want to hear like six niggas die while you're doing squats? Because that's kind of like the
PDA
space I be in.
My PDA is, we have been having a lot of fun lately. This weekend was fun.
Okay, yes.
And I am learning more and more about basketball. I've been watching basketball my whole life, sitting at the foot of my grandfather's bed watching basketball. Mm-hmm. But I'm really understanding the concept of the game now. And like, especially playoffs. And
context, Randy never respected the game, which
That's
is how we
true.
Ended up in a relationship in the first place.
That's
is because
not
she didn't want
true.
Me to go play because she wanted to tell me about her
you
feelings.
You could have still went to go play. You just decided to go home because
so
you couldn't
focus.
So now
Randy's taking an interest in the game.
Because it started with we watched The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, months ago.
That's how I
and
got it.
And then I've just been like, oh my God, it's so nostalgic. I didn't realize how much I knew, which I said a few episodes ago.
You did.
And just lately, I've been like, you know, tell me, you know, when we finally get time alone and Drew sleep and I'm not throwing up, I'm like, hey, so what you doing? He's watching another basketball game. I'm like, okay, well, talk me through this because what is happening?
There's also the added benefit of this season being a good one.
Yeah. And I've been watching
like
games, Drew. I watched the last three games you watched or the end of the last two and like one of them with you. Mm-hmm. They last forever. These men can make 45 seconds last. I'm like,
Continue.
Anyway, so yeah, I've really been enjoying this time with you and learning about basketball and, like, you know, sitting with you and watching it. And now I really understand. And I know you're proud of me. I'm proud.
She asked questions that she already had the answer to.
Yes.
She's like, so they're playing this many games and...
I'm understanding about series and seed numbers.
They're the which seed going against that one? Okay, that makes sense.
So people be losing, I be like, or people get swept.
Randy knows what a sweep is now.
That's why they're so skinny. Yeah. So yeah, thanks. It's been a lot of fun.
I'm glad you've been enjoying it.
Thanks.
I have.
You have what?
I've enjoyed that you've been enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
It's fun to see.
Yeah.
It has been kind of happy around here. My PDA.
Mm-hmm.
You're pregnant. And you just reached week 15. 12. We thought it was week 13.
We thought it was week 13. Got to the ultrasound. She was like, sweetie.
Like, yeah.
You're in your second trimester.
Definitely in your second trimester. I made fun of it in my fight or flight, but I actually am, like, really, really proud of the way you've been dealing with everything going forward. I know that you've been sick of this.
Yeah.
And like literally sick, like physically sick and like emotionally, mentally, it's just been a lot on you, but you're doing so well.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you this in public spaces and not just when I look you in your
eyes. I think you told me this
after you've thrown up. I don't think so.
Well, thank you. You tell me all the time, so I'm...
I do.
I really appreciate it.
This has definitely been hard. I know it's been tough, but I'm just really proud of you. I have plans for your push present, and I think for the rest of the season, I'm going to, like, allude to things that it could be and give you one guess per episode.
But I've asked for...
You're getting more than that.
Oh, okay.
I know, yeah. Because I feel like you deserve more than... What is the one you asked for again?
I want a Mac desktop.
Randy wants a Mac desktop, so you can go ahead and check that one off. So that's one of them.
But, okay.
Like, I'm going to allude to other ones. I'm going to let you guess as to what it would be, because I want to, like, give you the world for this.
Yeah, this pregnancy's been...
It's been different.
It has been different.
And I think... I'm sure people will be interested in hearing how.
I can't be in the car. Like...
Yeah. So as soon as we finish recording, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to go
pick up our daughter because I throw up. Like, I can't take the...
Yeah.
I can't. It's so weird. Baby said, I don't want you going nowhere. You're mine.
You're tough. You're tough as fuck. You really are. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to want you again. And to let you kiss on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is co-hosted,
co-produced,
co-created,
co-everything
by Mikey
and Randy Chapman.
See how we just split that up? We didn't mean to do it on purpose.
So if you like what you hear and see, support the show and our work on Patreon at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage.
New episodes once a week.
Prayerfully. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles.
That's the family. Details in our show notes.
We are available on YouTube,
iTunes,
Spotify,
Stitcher,
Google Podcasts,
and all other major streaming services.
Rate us
5 stars
and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode.
Or if you didn't, because reparations.
Right.
Be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com.
And follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_the_Chapmans.
As always, y'all, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.